reading tonight is from the book of Revelation and chapter 5. If you want to follow along, it's on page 1236 of the church Bibles. Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. We're doing things in a slightly different way this Easter Sunday, and we're not really having a sermon as such, but really an exhortation to keep praising. What we're doing together tonight in praising God for the events of Easter and what they mean goes right to the very heart of the reality of our universe. This passage in Revelation 5 is like a sort of peeling back of the curtain onto the sort of cosmic goings-on that Easter represents. So John looks and he sees in the right hand, chapter 5, verse 1, of the one who sits on the throne, that is Almighty God. He's holding a scroll with writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. Now those seals, I have a great friend who was led to the Lord by a young woman who thought that those seven seals were like the seals you would see in the aquarium. But they're not that. You would seal a document to show that it had been witnessed. And so seven seals represents kind of complete witness. And it would stop the scroll from being tampered with. And this scroll is in the hand of Almighty God. It is full of his plans for his universe. And they look around for someone to break those seals, to open the scroll, to read it. In other words, for God's plans for his universe to come about. and no one can be found in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. In other words, there is no one who can open that scroll. And it may be that the reason for that is that for God's plans to be fulfilled, the impossible has to happen. Back in Genesis chapter 2, God promised the man and the woman that if they took the fruit that he had forbidden to them, they would die. It would be the end of humanity. And yet they took the fruit. God had made the man and the woman to be his people, to fill the earth and subdue it, to bring unnumbered people made in the image of God into being. And yet right there at the start, they choose death instead of life. And God can't just say, never mind, let's try again. To do so would be to break his word, would be to do the impossible. Who is there that can bring about God's plans for blessing on his people when to keep his word, it looks as though God must destroy them? And you can see, can't you, if that's what the scroll means, and I think it does, why John wept that no one could open it. And sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? That God's plans could never be fulfilled. We read the newspaper or we doom scroll the internet. And it all seems chaos and brutality and destruction. And John weeps. But then the elder says, don't weep. Have you heard those words before? Yes, you have. On Easter Sunday, why are you crying? Don't cry. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He can open the scroll and its seven seals. And so John looks for this great, mighty lion who has triumphed, and he sees a lamb looking as if it had been slain. And he opens the scroll. He cuts the Gordian knot. He enables the impossible to happen. And so they sing this new song, verse 9. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And so if you look up at the second half of verse 8, the 24 elders are all holding golden bowls full of incense. Now, incense was something that only the priests could burn in the presence of God, in the holy place within the tabernacle and then within the temple. Very few human beings ever got that privilege of bringing worship intimately to God. And what incense symbolizes in the Bible is a thing that brings pleasure to the God who made us. It smells sweet. And as God smells it, you know, symbolically, he is pleased and it brings him joy. And smell is such a powerful thing, isn't it? And perhaps you know that feeling when you just catch a whiff of perfume or something else that you don't quite understand why, but it makes you feel good. But now, the incense that brings God pleasure is offered not just by a few people chosen from the human race, but by all of God's people. They were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And so those gathered closest to the throne, and then unnumbered angels around, and then everything on heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and in the sea sings praise To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped. The death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus mean that we are priests, all of us, all together. As we pray, we offer incense before the throne of God, and it brings him joy. And the only right response to the extraordinary things we hear of at Easter, which are true and which have cosmic significance, is to be like those closest to the throne of God, to fall down and to worship. And that's why we're giving time tonight to worship, to revel in, to delight in, to feast on the goodness of what Jesus Christ has done for us. In those events of the first Easter, he changed everything. And now here we are, priests together, bringing worship and praise and prayer to God. And it gladdens his heart. Isn't that extraordinary?